Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way with new eyes. So, stay with us and together, we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today, the value of labor. And before we explore this topic, I'd like to say a few words about Alice Bailey. Alice Bailey is the founder of the Lucis Trust, and Lucis Trust sponsors this show. Alice Bailey wrote 24 books of esoteric philosophy, and those 24 books are the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear on this show. The following thought is also from the works of Alice Bailey. When the labor movement is swept by the energy of goodwill, basic changes in world affairs will take place. Do you think the labor movement is swept by goodwill yet?
I'm not really sure. That statement, by the way, is from the writings of Alice Bailey. And she was foreseeing a period in about the 1930s, she probably wrote that, when the labor movement was in full cry. Now, some 60, 65 years later, I suppose she would see tremendous progress having been made. Every year at this time, we celebrate Labor Day, and it's good to reflect on how far we've come and where we need to go in terms of labor. People might be asking themselves, what does this have to do with inner sight and a spiritual view of life? In fact, it's a deeply spiritual problem, because it has to do with right human relations. The way we relate to labor, the way our working force is treated in any society, is an indication of how far along that society is in the establishing of right human relations. And it's interesting to ponder on even the Buddha's Noble Eightfold Path, which contains one step called right livelihood. That's part of the path leading to right human relations, the Buddha said. It's a path that leads to God and to one's fellow men, and the right treading of that path brings the end of suffering. So it's a deeply spiritual issue.
Yes, it is a deep spiritual issue, and I think it's a good example of how one can look at the world today, in the world situation, and see the underlying spiritual forces at work, particularly through the labor movement. Because if you go back 100 years or more, back to the middle of the 19th century, the labor was treated much differently than it is today. And for the forces of capitalism in those days, and the powerful capitalists as opposing the workers, and the dramatic problems that they have, the riots and the strikes, it was literally a battle to life and death in some places. And out of that movement, out of that struggle, has come a tremendous advancement for the human worker in the world. And that has been a very spiritual movement, in the sense that human consciousness has advanced and awakened tremendously because of that. And it's been a very powerful force for advancement in human awareness.
I think one of the factors that makes the value of labor, the whole issue of human labor, so spiritual is that it has to do with the balancing of forces. The very nature of the problem, capital and labor, is one that's based on competition, on the opposition of different interests. At least that's how we've always seen it. There are the interests of the capitalists, the people who hold the money, and there are the interests of the labor force, the people who have to work to serve the agenda of the capitalists. And there's an opposition set up between the two of them that is seen as a kind of a war, a conflict, where one side will win and one side will lose. And this is how most of the history of the labor unions has been conducted, as a battle. And yet, not too long ago, I heard on the radio a discussion of upcoming talks between the auto workers in Detroit and the manufacturers. And as everybody knows, the U.S. Auto market is not doing really well at the present time. And I was interested to hear some labor leaders saying that we know for sure there won't be a strike. And I thought that's new, that they are saying right from the beginning they don't plan on striking. And maybe that's a sign of progress. Maybe it's a sign of a commitment to find some kind of resolution short of declaring war, which is what a strike is. It's a declaration of war, it seems to me, mm-hmm. of going to battle. And maybe that's progress. But if we could get past the tendency to see the whole problem in terms of conflict and opposition, I think that would be a tremendous spiritual step. Because it's really an issue that involves everyone, and everyone's interests have to somehow be accommodated, and yet every side has to compromise and sacrifice in order to achieve a satisfactory outcome.
And it does come down, as you said, come down to right human relationships. We don't often think of it in those terms, perhaps, but it is building right relationships between the management and the workers, and the capitalists and the workers, and understanding and appreciating the value of each other and the needs that both are needed. And we can't exist without one or the other. So it is a matter of realizing that we're all in this together, and we better sit down and cooperate and share mm-hmm. our resources, otherwise we're all going to collapse.
Yes, and perhaps there's no industry that better demonstrates that than the automobile industry. If all sides don't work together, there may well be a collapse. It's something that calls for a sense of the whole, I think, and not just of one's own part. Maybe that's what's been missing. There's been a focus only on one's own point of view, regardless of whether you're in management or if you hold capital or if you're part of the labor force. You tend, it seems, to see only your own from your own perspective. And yet, if we can work out a resolution of all interests for the good of the whole, that would be a great leap forward spiritually, and that really is the essence of labor, seeing what one does as a contribution to the good of the whole. We tend to assume we work for money, but there are many other reasons to work than just to earn a living. There's the whole value of making a contribution to society. And it reminds me of that experimental artist in New York, oh, maybe 10 or even 20 years ago, who had a program in which she was decorating garbage trucks with tiny mirrors. And the idea of that was so that anybody seeing the garbage truck would see himself reflected in it. In other words, garbage is us. Garbage is me. I'm part of this problem.
Horrible.
These people are in business because of me, yeah. among others. I thought it was quite effective. The other part of her program was that she made a commitment to shaking the hand of every garbage hauler she met, just to express appreciation for what they do for the common good. And it would be nice if people could see whatever they do, no matter how mundane or menial, as a contribution to the good of the whole. I think that would be that would offer a different perspective on what labor is really meant for.
Yes, I think the whole our understanding of labor and of work in general is changing a lot, and it's no longer just a job that we go to every day for so many hours and get paid for and then go home at night, and it's more of a commitment. It's more of a profession. It's, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing well, kind of thing. And it's so the whole understanding of work and of working, I think it is undergoing a tremendous change too. And this is in part because of this expansion of consciousness that's all not only just workers, but the management and capitalists are undergoing the same thing.
There was a tremendous influence in the work of E.F. Schumacher. Some of our audience might have heard of him. He wrote a book called Good Work. He also was the author of a better-known book called Small is Beautiful, which focused more on economic matters. But his book, Good Work, focused on what labor is really intended to do. He offers quite a spiritual perspective. He said that work, at least in our society, in Western society, is closely tied in with one's sense of oneself. And I think that's true. A lot of people identify themselves in terms of their work, in terms of their job. That's a major component of who they are. And that means that one's work is linked to one's ego, to one's status, to one's desire for prestige. And that can work against the willingness to serve the common good. And so Schumacher proposed three purposes that make good work good. One, he said, is that it should provide necessary and useful goods and services. And that would include everything from those who sweep streets and haul trash to those who do brain surgery. And secondly, he said, one of the purposes of good work is that it should enable every one of us to use and thereby perfect our gifts, whatever they are, as good stewards should do with whatever their talents are, develop them to the fullest. And that reminds me of the cleaning lady on our floor of our office building, who is from China and speaks very little English. But every afternoon leaving work, we see her going about her job. She's always happy to see us, always cheerful and always working. And she does a fine job. And her whole energy and commitment go into doing her job properly. And therefore, the offices she cleans are clean. We would love to have her clean our office, but she's not available.
Hello, my house. That sounds good.
And she has the attitude that that's her job. She should do it well. That's beautiful. Thirdly, Schumacher said, good work should be to do so in service to and cooperation with others so as to free ourselves from our inborn egocentricity. Wouldn't it be something if workers would see their jobs as part of a larger group effort and an opportunity to give up their selfishness? Just imagine the revolution in the office place or the workplace.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. Our topic for today is the value of labor. And before we go any further, I'd like to make an offer from Lucis Trust. Once again, they have a gift for you. The gift comes in the form of a booklet. It's a booklet on building right human relations. And it's called that, Building Right Human Relations, The Problem of Capital, Labor, and Employment. I might add, too, that it contains a summary of the spiritual significance of this problem and a meditation on how to contribute to its right resolution. So what you need to do is, if you'd like to order the booklet, just give us a call on our toll-free number. It's 1-866-695-8247. Just ask for the booklet on Building Right Human Relations. Once again, 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. LUCIS is L-U-C-I-S. Just think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. And once again, it's absolutely free, no strings attached whatsoever, not a shipping charge or anything like that. So just give us a call, ask for the booklet on Building Right Human Relations. You don't need the complete title, but the complete title is The Problem of Capital, Labor, and Employment. So once again, ask for Building Right Human Relations, and we'll be happy to send it out to you. We have many people who enjoy listening to our archive library of shows, and all of our Inner Sight programs can be heard on our website at www.lucistrust.org. On the homepage, you'll find a link to today's program, which will be available for hearing in a day or two. Last week's program is already available, and many of our past programs can also be heard. Once again, it's www.lucistrust.org. The theme of each week's program is posted in advance on our website so that you can see in advance what next Sunday's program will be. Also, we appreciate your donations, both large and small. And please continue that, because that's what keeps us on the air. It really is a way of demonstrating your support, and we certainly thank you for it. The donations are tax deductible. Send them to LUCIS Trust. Once again, LUCIS, L-U-C-I-S, LUCIS Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's LUCIS Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Sarah, I was thinking, I was looking at the title, and it says The Value of Labor. To me, there's a slight undertone or implication that perhaps some people don't acknowledge the value of labor. Is that true?
Well, you might say they don't acknowledge the value of all honest work. I think, at least in our society, there's a tendency to link your job with your desire for prestige and for money. And I notice particularly among young people today that even the quest for a college education is tied in with the desire for a healthy income, rather than so much emphasis on preparing themselves for whatever labor, whatever occupation they will be engaged in. The main question seems to be, is it going to pay me a lot of money?
Yeah.
Part of that might be because they have to invest so much in their educations, but not everybody goes to a private college. There are state schools, there are state universities. So I wonder sometimes about the tremendous stress placed on salary. And the other factor that concerns me is the tendency to think that there are jobs that are not worth doing because they're too low level. And like I say, the cleaning woman makes a big impression on me because her attitude is, this is my job, I will do it to the best of my ability, which I think of as a very Buddhist attitude. Whatever you're doing, sweeping the floor, whatever, do it the best you can. That's your job right now. That's your task. And if we had more respect for the dignity of work, regardless of whether it's brain surgery or sweeping a street, all of it is needed. And if we could see the value of the individual doing that task as a contribution to the larger welfare, perhaps everybody would feel uplifted.
Well, yes, I mean, in the larger picture, it has to do, you can carry beyond humanity itself, because this whole idea of work and labor in the world is not a new thing, but it has its deep spiritual roots in the form of a spiritual hierarchy, which also is involved in this labor movement.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you mean the gradation of tasks and responsibilities is hierarchical. The great ones, the masters, handle responsibilities and tasks that are far beyond the ordinary human being, and so it is within human society. The neurosurgeon has gone through a much more challenging preparatory process to become a neurosurgeon than does someone who drives a truck or hauls garbage. But all tasks are needed. Mm-hmm. They all do something useful, and there is dignity simply in the usefulness of what one does. Behind this whole question of labor is the fact of hierarchy, and it's really fascinating to ponder. Alice Bailey pointed out that this really sharp distinction between the very rich and the very poor developed not that long ago. She linked it to the Victorian age and the growth of industry and the machine age and so on, when huge amounts of capital began to be accumulated by a very few people and at the expense of a huge labor force that at that time was really downtrodden and totally under the control of the capitalists. That's why we have labor unions, because they started out being so misused. Now, oddly enough, the shoe is sometimes on the other foot, where the labor unions have so much power that they can bring things to a halt, as those of us who remember the subway strike of a couple years ago can testify to. Both sides can be very selfish, and yet that's part of the hierarchical problem, that we tend towards selfishness. One of the things our audience might be surprised to think about is that it said a master of the wisdom oversaw the whole development of the labor movement. That's how critically important it was in the divine plan.
Right, and that's you know, a factor that there's no way to prove, but this is in the Ageless Wisdom's writings, that the hierarchy is involved very much so in the day-to-day work of humanity, and this is one of the ways that they work, through impression, through they find these initiates that are not terribly advanced initiates, but they are of initiate status within the relative position they hold in the labor movement, and they are the workers of the world. And these men can be impressed to organize and to organize labor forces and labor unions and to unionize. And that was how it really started back in the 1900s, the 19th century, I should say. And there was a very hierarchical impression starting to work behind the scenes, but this all began to work out through the labor movement.
It created the possibility for a lot of people who had almost nothing to gradually move into a more middle class way of living, and to achieve education, and to see their children, their families achieve a better standard of living. It made a tremendous difference, and enough time has passed that we don't, those of us living now, remember those conditions. But I remember a few years ago we had a very elderly co-worker who could remember. Our office at the time was on Union Square here in Manhattan, and he could remember as a young man protesting in marches on Union Square on behalf of labor, when it was a deeply felt ideal. And that would have been probably in the 30s, maybe even in the 40s. Now the interests of labor are different. Part of it is due to globalization, which again is a spiritual event, but true to human form is going rather on a rocky course. But our interests and our future are tied in with peoples and nations all over the planet now, and no one small group can completely control their circumstances. This is a threat to labor, and it's requiring new training, new views of what their work can be,
Yes, and I was thinking, what's behind this, the basic human impulse that is behind so much of this, especially today, which has all seemed to be coming to a head, is the impulse of desire. Desire is driving everything. Desire for money, desire for power, whether you're a worker or in management or a capitalist or an investor in the stock market, it's desire for more power, more money, more things, more material things, a bigger home, two or three cars instead of one, and et cetera, et cetera. And it's if we could think of our own personal example, we might see that behind everything there is a very strong degree of desire that's driving it, and that what is the force that's controlling it.
There's another term for one's job, one's labor. It's called occupation, and maybe in thinking about the meaning of that term, we see a more spiritual perspective. One's occupation is how one occupies one's time and energies. And that's much more than just a standard of living and a material goal. It's how one uses one's resources and makes one's contribution. I think there's some insight in pondering on that term. The whole issue of labor concerns a spiritual need, Alice Bailey said, to seal the door where evil dwells. That's something that humanity has to do. People will recognize that line from the Great Invocation, which is sounded at the end of this program. And the door where evil dwells will be sealed when the door, she said, of raw materialism and false values is closed, when we have redirected our vision to something more than just the accumulation of wealth and of a more and more comfortable standard of living beyond what we really need. Only humanity can seal that door, and it will involve an achieving of a balance between the spiritual and the material. And it's not either or, but right balance.
We just had advantage of the special offer that's being given to you from Lucis Trust, and it's a gift. The gift comes in the form of a booklet, and the booklet is on Building Right Human Relations, The Problem of Capital, Labor, and Employment, and it contains a summary of the spiritual significance of this problem and a meditation on how to contribute to its right resolution. So if you'd like to have the gift, no strings attached, just give us a call, no shipping charge, at our toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Thank you.